Hey kids, this is Aaron from the podcast that wouldn't die, and Kevin and I use Zencastr. You think you're better than us, that you're using something else? You're wrong. Zencastr is the place to be. Who are you to deny it?
It's now super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high quality podcast right away. Record studio quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. If you thought about podcasting before and realized that you need a lot of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcasting platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use our code DIEHARD and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences we do for all our podcasting and content needs. It's time for you to share your story.
Only a fool would give up a chance for a 30% discount.
Hello there. This is Pablo Gunner of TNTM The Show, here to talk nerdy to you about any and all things nerdy. Now get back to listening to the podcast that wouldn't die.
Under the crimson, primordial sky, the wretched warlock reached into the dark embrace. His fist closed around the serpent's eye. Strange and eternal.
I need you to get me that girl I saw.
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Hello.
This week, we're discussing the Nicolas Cage classic, Mandy, starring Nicolas Cage and others.
And all the rest.
Various actors. We have a very special guest with us today. We have Daryl from the Cage Rage Podcast. How's it going?
Hello. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for having me in your hallowed halls. What a pleasure to be here.
Of course. They are quite hallowed. I want the world to know. No question. Each week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genres with a comedic twist. Aaron, what's up with you? What's the latest?
Oh my God, I'm barely alive. That's so many questions all at once. I'm here waiting for a vacation. I'm just hanging on by my fingernails. 2 weeks.
It's like Total Recall. 2 weeks. Yeah, I get it. I'm sure the parents of your students are thrilled to hear that you're just mailing it in for the next 2 weeks, but
I think they're fine with it.
Yes. No question. It's you know, a nonverbal agreement that you eye contact and they just understand. No question.
I'm adjusting my light. How's this light? Is that better?
It's amazing. Typically, we like to do this before we start recording. But it's nice to to show, yes, this is how.
And meanwhile, my students are already checked out. We have finals in a week, and I already have kids going, my mom says I'm not coming for finals. Oh, okay. You're a senior in high school. If you feel your final exams are not important, I get you. All right. See you next year.
You don't need school to be a podcaster.
That's right.
Sadly, no, that's true.
Video game. It's video game. It's a gamer. I'm going to be a gamer when I grow up. I'm like, aren't you a gamer right now? How much is that paying you?
Right. Are you good at this gaming thing? Not so
much. How much have you made so far?
I used to tell students, if they paid money for playing video games and eating hot Cheetos, I'd be doing that. Sadly.
Exactly. Being in a liter jar. Yeah.
Yes.
As I often said to my son, if you were able to even pay one bill with your nonstop video gaming, I'd be totally off your back. So which bill would you owe
you
nothing?
Choose.
Negative. It's actually a negative is what's happening here. Okay. Rock and roll.
Interesting. Okay.
AI's taking all your jobs anyway, so f*** off.
So
never dreams. That's the message here.
Don't have dreams.
Don't have dreams.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Aaron, give us your 30-second synopsis of Mandy.
What the hell? And my mistake was watching this at 7 o'clock at night and then going to sleep immediately. Well, I had to watch a half an hour of Seinfeld to cleanse the mind, but I had all kinds of effed up dreams because of this. So at first, it is Nick Cage and his strange girlfriend with the hollowed out eyes. It looked like Shelley Duvall from The Shining in her younger days. Just, I don't know, sleepwalking through life. It's like they're on heroin. They're just like zoned out, watching TV. He's asleep most of the beginning of the movie. She's telling her, let's have sex, and I'm going to tell you my trauma in my life. Great. And then, bam, freaks show up, murder, and I was thinking, this is such an understated Nick Cage performance. And then I was corrected. And nonsense ensues. Beautiful. I was like, this is violent as hell. What's happening?
Now, the end, exactly.
He's still dead.
Now, Daryl, when we invited you on, we kind of opened the vault and said, what movie are you dying to do? And of course, a Nick Cage classic. Now,
never heard of it ever in my life.
Yes, Aaron was shocked it wasn't about Barry Manilow.
I thought it was like a documentary. Mandy gave and gave without taking.
That's true.
They sent her away.
Some would say this is just another day in Nicolas Cage's real life. So.
It's like a Thursday.
It's just a Thursday for Nick Cage, really.
Exactly. I mean, okay, Aaron, you had never seen this before. Daryl, had you seen this before many times?
I have seen this many times, twice recreationally, once for my podcast, and once as the fifth film in a Nick Cage movie marathon. So just imagine you start your night at a cinema, at a theater, you know, 9 p.m., you start going nice and easy with The Rock. Then you go to Con Air, Face Off. You have a secret film, which is Drive Angry. And at this point, you're fighting for your life. You fight to stay awake. And at 7 in the morning, they play Mandy when you've not slept for about 30 hours prior to that. So I, in a way, have been on seriously hallucinogenic drugs watching this movie as well.
It does seem like you need to be on the acid. I'm not putting drops on my eyes, though. I'm just going to put that down. And I'm not sure, is it the green sludge that I should be sipping on to freak out? Or is it the eye drops?
We got to talk about that.
Or is it the green glop? If you see, I'm just derailing. If you see a mason jar of bubbly green slop, is the first thing that comes to your mind to stick your finger in it and put it in your mouth?
Yes, that's the question.
There's an oil in
a crack den. In a house with shit all over every counter, old pizza boxes, whatever. Here's an open jar, and you say it was green. I thought it was gray. It's some kind of sludge. I mean, why would you go like, oh, I'm zeroing in on this jar of slop. What's this? Good Lord.
Created with a gang full of gimps from Pulp Fiction. Got to get the gimp.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the Black Skulls.
This movie, man.
A biker courier gang who takes drugs around, got given a bad batch, and then they got seriously into sucking and f***ing. That's what drugs will do to you, people.
They don't tell you that on the brochure.
Quite frankly, with their outfits, it looks like it'd be difficult to do much of anything. It seems like it'd be like 25 minutes to free anything for anything to happen.
No question. Well, they were like the Cenobites on ATVs when they first arrived.
Cenobites on ATVs.
I was like, what the hell's happening? When this movie first came out, there was a lot of buzz about this movie. Like, people were talking like, ooh.
What
Nick's
were they
doing
saying,
some,
though?
They were saying some things. This wasn't the Humanity Bureau, right? No. This was
the Humanity Bureau.
This was
way.
Like This was critically acclaimed when it came out, for real.
What?
Just because you don't read doesn't mean the rest of the world is...
It was, what was it, got the Palme d'Or? Critically acclaimed by who?
Yes, it got the Palme d'Or.
By Fangoria magazine, by the Nick Cage fan club.
Who I mean, granted, it? People who would be interested in this, you know, critics who would watch this, critically acclaimed.
Not the Academy.
But I hadn't seen it until, not the Academy. I hadn't seen it. It was on Joe Bob a couple years ago, and
what?
I saw it for the first time. And I kind of enjoyed it at the time. I don't want to spoil reviews or anything, my review, but I kind of enjoyed it at the time, but I hadn't watched it until Daryl recommended it yet again. So I kind of knew what we were going for here.
So. It does have a linear story.
It does, shockingly enough. Why don't we let's jump right into the highlights. What do you got, Aaron? Let's start with you.
No, I'm still obsessed with the pinheads.
Yes.
The Cenobites drinking sludge. So they only work for a jar of hallucinogens. That's it. You blow a horn and they're like, what?
He was chugging it. You know, yeah. one fingernail... From Nicolas Cage, and his head melted, and his eyes dilated, and his explosions.
He was able to track people down just by some old rando saying, go north. And he was like, right to the front door.
His survival skills are unmatched. no one can just dive into a jar of mystery goop, you know? I think I could probably take like a thimble full of goop, having seen this movie like 4 or 5 times now. But to the first timer, a little whiff of goop and you'll be seeing cartoon vision, and just tiger people and just going insane. You know, you got to get your goop tolerance up.
You do. You don't just jump right in.
You basically go from being comatose, just being asleep all the time, to like a ninja who never sleeps and is just on a search and destroy mission.
Well, we're supposed to think that the first 30 minutes or so is kind of this blissful love story, right? Of two freaks who live out in the forest amongst themselves. What? Why did she have a weird, like, milky eye and a scar? Just to make it, like, she was too pretty normally to be with Nicolas Cage the way he's looking in this movie, so they had to disfigure her in some way?
It was Cersei Lannister from Dread in her younger days.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. But it was very, like, I think it was trying to be artistic, where it's like they're by the campfire, kind of looking at each other wistfully as she's swimming in the swamp, and they're fishing. Like, it was like some kind of commercial for erectile dysfunction or something, right?
They have no conversations with each other except when she's sharing her weird trauma stories. Most of the time, they're just staring. How about when he's just squatting, eating his TV dinner with her? You know,
that's what couples do when the love is so strong.
The love is so strong that I don't even have to talk to you anymore. I can just ignore you and pretend you're not there. That's how strong my love is.
Well, they were watching a movie about these strange creatures coming to Earth and like vaporizing people, which is...
Yep.
In a way, basically this movie in some senses. But they have that conversation about like, oh, what's your favorite planet? That's cool. And then Cage is like, I like Galactus because he eats the planets. So, you know, couplely conversations.
That's some deep conversation. I think we could all aspire to that, honestly. Yeah. Now,
so
here's a question.
This is the most exciting thing that happened in their lives.
Why did this movie have to take place in 1983?
Because the 80s...
Because it was a great year? I don't know.
I assume I wasn't there. I don't know. I only know I only know 91 onwards. I think you just put anything in the 80s and that's just an excuse for weird things to happen. I think it's just accepted. Oh yeah, that probably happened in the 80s.
Right.
This Cage was probably attacked by a leather-clad biker called... And they have three names. They don't tell you the names of the bikers in the movie, but there's Scratch, Scabs, and Fuck Pig. You can probably guess which one was Fuck Pig.
Yes. Yes, you can. Here's a news flash. They don't tell you Nicolas Cage's character in the movie. They never mentioned his name.
I'm sure they mentioned it right at the start. Maybe I'm just imagining. Maybe I'm on the goop and I've just imagined this.
You on the goop?
Maybe possibly. I'm on the goop. Possibly.
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 Well, he's an old like lumberjack, and she works the local convenience store.
Yeah, just getting freaked out anytime a customer comes in. It's like, oh, you enjoying your book there?
Why are you talking to me? Well, you are working the register. Forgive me.
Things just cost $5 back when the dollar had some power. I assume. I don't know. I've never seen a dollar in my life.
Well, she didn't ring anything up either. She just kind of glanced, I don't know, $5? What do you think? Best offer?
That sounds like the way commerce works to me. Just guess. Is that like? Is that basically what the Price is Right is anyway? She was just playing the Price is Right. It's like, you got a bag of, I don't know. This is a store where they're selling like, I don't know, crackers, sauces, and chainsaws. Actually, this is a time you just went to the store and picked up a chainsaw. 1983, exactly.
What is this, like Little House on the Prairie? I need a thimble, 10 pounds of flour.
And 10 pounds of
tobacco.
Exactly. I'll trade these animal skins in for yes. That's how they did it.
It was back in 83. Time of commerce when we were still like hunting pelts back in 83.
Back in 83.
I'm a French trapper. May I have a pack of Pall Malls?
Here's a beaver pelt. Exactly. I think that was just shorthand for. No one has a cell phone and no one has the internet. I mean, that would be my only guess.
They're a home phone, apparently. And I have to say, I love their crazy house because it's like this groovy 70s freak out with shag carpeting and all orange and brown. I was like, holy crap.
I mean, I know they live in the middle of nowhere, but the idea that your little bedroom alcove is just windows wide open to the, I mean, any Peeping Tom walks by, sees you in your embarrassingly depressing life.
Three people.
Just pretty much peep, look on in, help yourself. There's no curtains. I don't want to hear about Galactus. For God's sakes, close a curtain.
Our love has no shame.
No, it was just a simple time where you had some cheddar goblin cheese, you peeped in on your neighbors, and you just gave them a little wave.
Cheddar goblin. It's like, what the f*** is this? You are supposed to be on hallucinogens while you're watching this.
We can't cheddar just goblin. Fly by the cheddar goblin. That might be its own show, honestly. What in God's green earth was that?
Well, if I understood the advert correctly, it had 80% more cheese than the next leading brand. So this is the cheesiest of the cheeses in 1983. Little goblin in the advert, he vomits up like mac and cheese all over this boy.
Oh, my God.
It was a simpler time.
I don't know if it was ever that simple. His wife had just...
Back up. Please. You can get a Cheddar Goblin shirt, and there is a Funko Pop of the Cheddar Goblin.
Absolutely. Yes.
I need a Cheddar Goblin shirt.
You've got to.
$19 from Spencer's.
Well, his wife had just been brutally murdered. Basically cremated in a sleeping bag, doused in some lighter fluid, and smash cut to the TV's on, and there's a bizarre. I mean, it had to be. This is a comedy moment, right? Where it's.
I argue it's the best part of the movie.
You could make that argument. It is. It's basically like a Kraft macaroni and cheese commercial, but it is the Cheddar Goblin, which is a little crazy. It's like. Taken from Trolls, that movie, Trolls 2 or whatever, where the creature is a green thing. The kids are like begging for macaroni and cheese, and he pukes up macaroni and cheese on these poor kids' heads.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like just gallons and gallons. I saw this article a while ago. Some website did an interview with like the practical effects person who did the Cheddar Goblin advert, and they said something like they got like gallons and gallons of mac and cheese mixed with like jello and stuff to give it this sort of goopy look, and they said something like the kids in the advert were getting vomited on for about 5-6 hours. So, you know, pay your dues, kids. You'll make it big in this industry one day.
I mean,
this is how I imagine this conversation. I meet someone, they're like, oh yeah, I worked on Mandy. I'm like, oh, I invented Cheddar Goblin. Oh,
now we're talking. I was one of the kids the goblin puked on for 5 hours. Good lord.
They'll be at the next Fangoria convention.
Oh, just if like Yoda was like an absolute ghoul, he would be like, it's nightmare Yoda, basically, the Cheddar Goblin.
It is. Absolutely. What? I mean, honestly, the movie's going a certain direction, and then there's this strangely bizarre commercial break right in the middle of the action, and I'm like, that woke me up. I'm not gonna tell you, I was just like, what the I like leaned forward, had to rewind it. I'm like, did I have some goop a minute ago? What happened?
If you have to ask, yes, you've had goop.
The answer is a resounding yes. No question.
So that jar in the back of the fridge and you weren't sure what it was, so you gave it a little taste. Now you know.
That was goop. That was circa 83, a vintage year for goop.
It was a very good year. So we have to talk about, basically, so they're living their life.
In Crystal Lake. Let's put that.
Yes! Crystal Lake is just down the road. Yes.
The camp is next door.
And she's walking down the street, presumably to work. And a Chevy van rolls by, which is very late 70s, frankly. And a cult leader sees her, makes eye contact with her, and then becomes obsessed with her. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I mean, the Brady Bunch had more members than this cult, right? There was like 5, maybe? So
yeah, 5 or 6. Jeremiah Sands, the leader of this cult, who just sees Mandy's big sort of stargazing eyes.
Yep.
Sort of driving past, and then like the next scene, he's just like moping in this bed, going, "Please, just fucking moping. Just be quiet and fetch me, Brother Swan."
I feel naked without her. I feel naked.
It's like, you're not going to ascend if you question.
Unfortunately, he becomes naked later.
Give me a little bit of hog later on. I mean, they are the children of the New Dawn. I think it's established.
Which is a great name.
Well, basically, they are the Manson family.
Right.
Pretty much. He's a failed musician. Now he's a cult leader.
Right.
Everyone else in this cult is very easily... Yeah, living in squalor, very easily led. He does have his own song out, Jeremiah Sand, called Amulet of the Weeping Maze. It's like available, like you can listen to it. There's lyrics on there. The chorus is, Jeremiah Sand was a righteous man whose heart was full of love. He wandered the land on the shifting sands, searching for a dove. So, as he says later, he's had the pleasure of many women, but he wants Mandy to be very gentle with him. Which is one thing I didn't notice, actually, when he's, you know, jumping ahead of it, when he sort of disrobes to Mandy. If you look in the background, I think it's Brother Swan. One of the members of the cult is just holding his vinyl, just like, he's legit. This guy
it's
is
like
good to go.
It's like the Carpenters, almost only better.
If you like the Carpenters, then this is for you. Absolutely. I have to say, next time I'm wearing a robe, I'm just going to walk into the bedroom and just kind of cast it aside, just the way Jeremiah Sands. I think that's the only way to do it, in all honesty.
Yeah, like, I don't have a robe. I have a nudie, so it's very hard to disrobe like that. But I will invest in some kind of robe just so I can be like, you know, to my other half, very few have your radiance. Be gentle. And then she'll say, I know you are sick, Daryl, but what are you doing? We've been together a long time. This is a weird turn of events, even by your silly goose standards. I'm going to grow
is
my
it the
hair
goop?
Out.
Is it the goop?
Yeah.
Not the goop again, Daryl.
I thought we were past the goop stage of this. Like, I thought it was a phase. I thought we had that goop intervention. And it's like, I've always got secret goop. Stacked in my house.
I love that we're just I love who called it Goop. This is not any relation to Gwyneth Paltrow, as far as you know.
That's all I kept thinking about the whole time we're talking about.
Isn't it?
Do we know it's no relation?
Can't take it off the table, I guess is the reality. Very upset.
Have we sniffed the goop to be sure? I don't know. Yeah,
that is true. Oh, God. Gwyneth, what were you thinking?
I'm not going to tell an independent woman in business navigating those shark-infested waters how to, you know, get her vagina scented candles. You know, more power to you. Christmas is coming up. People love candles. Yankee candles.
Vagina scented candles and crackhead goop. It just flows together.
I'm sick of vanilla. I want crack. All right. That's all I'm asking for.
How about dirty locker room? How about that? That'd be a great one.
Yeah, gym sock, that specific butt crack sweat. I want just the real odor of life, the one that we don't talk about enough.
Absolutely. The scent of Nick Cage in this movie, frankly.
Yeah,
good
vodka,
Lord.
Blood, metal, I'm assuming as well. Wood.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Dirty chonies, socks that have been worn 2 weeks straight. You know, throw it all together.
Mac and cheese. Can you get a mac and cheese scented candle?
That's right.
A cheddar goblin candle.
Cheddar goblin, sex goblin. It's all just one magnificent candle.
Absolutely. No question.
But so, after saying all that at the beginning of the show, Kevin, didn't he give you like the voice and the vibe of our oldest brother, Patrick?
Who? Nicolas Cage?
Cage at the beginning.
Aaron loves to throw family members under the bus in these podcasts, banking on they will never listen, which is probably a safe
Patrick
assumption.
Patrick will never listen. But when he was talking quietly, I'm like, Dort, is that you? He's channeling his inner Nick Cage.
Well, it's interesting because, as you said, this is pretty mellow Nick Cage for a lot of this movie. Kind of understated, calm.
It had
lucid.
My attention. I was like, okay, this is like a whole different Nick Cage. I'm like, while she's getting killed and burned to death, you don't hear his voice. It's just an image of him. I was like, okay, this is very understated.
Then the switch.
And then
he's bound by barbed wire for a little part of that as well. Let's not forget.
That's true.
Just gets stabbed because Jeremiah Sands is just a man child.
He gets stabbed by like a foot long like spear into his side. Never any negative effects.
Yeah, walks it off.
You just pour a bit of vodka on it and it's fine.
Ooh, that stings. Moving on.
It looks like the Jesus stab, though. Wasn't it like the sword and then the hands? Is he, in fact, Jesus?
He is, in fact, Jesus.
Am I reading too much into this?
In life and in this film.
Is Nick Cage our Lord and Savior returned to us?
This is what I've been saying for 3+ years now, so get on board.
Now, I mean, we know this Jeremiah Sands is not really the Chosen. However, he does have the horn of Abraxas that does summon the weirdo vinyl-wearing ATV riders. So, is he actually the Chosen One?
Well, wouldn't a gym whistle also summon, you know, the Road Warriors?
A gym whistle.
They make a sound, and then they wait, and people come. So that only requires that the other party have hearing.
Well, but assuming they're 10 feet away, then they just follow them wherever they go. I mean, presumably.
Well, they're on the Gwyneth Paltrow sludge, so maybe it perks up their hearing. At first, I thought this was all supernatural bullcrappy, but I don't think it is at all.
Right.
Well,
who knows?
You've always got to be within listening distance of a stone conch that you're blowing, you know?
You do.
Do we need explanation about the goop? Not really. Are we going to get backstory on the horn of Abraxas? Absolutely not. Do we get Nicolas Cage screaming in tighty whiteys? Yes, we do. You know,
of course we do.
There's a lot of stuff, I think, with this. It is like an acid ride. And you kind of just have to go along with the ebbs and flows of this strange, fantastical, transcendental journey and just let it wash over you. like goop, some might say.
Like, just like, and I have to say, in 83, we didn't call them tidy whities. They were just called underwear, because that's what you had. There weren't these variety of colors and styles and things. There's no boxer briefs.
They came in other colors. You had old man boxers.
Yes.
Or you had something we used to call underwear.
It was a simpler time.
It was a simpler time. The only difference would be on the inside, it would say jockey or it would say something else.
Absolutely. Well, at the time I said, you know, you got to keep the Mustang in a corral. You can't give him free range. You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. It was a simpler time.
Quote him on that.
So we talked about the full frontal male nudity. That, I mean, I guess it doesn't come entirely out of left field because he is standing there wearing a crazy robe.
Like the dude.
It was Jeremiah Sands. They've kidnapped Mandy.
Her name's Cindy. We never reference Mandy again in the entire film.
Yeah. I always love titles where the title gives you no indication of what the movie could possibly be about.
Summer,
right?
Winter. Here we go.
Pretty much. So Nicolas Cage is tied up with barbed wire in the back. And he is, Jeremiah Sand, the twisted false prophet, is offering himself with his, like, five flunkies just kind of lounging on the couch.
Yeah.
Behind him. Good times.
Yeah. We've all been there. You know.
We've all been there.
That was university for me. We went through some dark times. You know, rent had to be paid. That's all I'll say.
He plays his record, his failed record, because people could not see his genius as a Karen Carpenter.
Right. So he took off his robe and showed him, showed her his genius.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then when she laughs at the music and presumably his naked form, and if you're paying attention, he proceeds to masturbate furiously for about 10 seconds. Good Lord. Who hasn't been there? You take off your robe, ready for action, and you're basically stuck pleasuring yourself. Very sad.
There was a lot of masturbation from various people in this film.
Yeah. There was a lot?
Well, the gimps. Watching his porn right before we discover the goop. There seemed to be a lot of that. But I did appreciate that it was only male nudity. That's very impressive. I would have liked to know more about Mandy. Unfortunately, she had two lines. Although she was tripping balls and just went out in flames, that's for sure. Woo! She wasn't going to tolerate nothing.
Yeah, got a little pipette.
She was kind of badass.
Well, hallucinogens to the eye, got like a little wasp sting in the neck.
What the hell was that?
A little cherry on top. Probably had some goop.
they pulled the prehistoric wasp out of a jar and then stick her with it. That's a little cherry on top. What are you talking about? What is happening?
And why isn't she getting the goop? How many different forms of acid do they have in this traveling roadshow?
Well, there's that guy who makes all the drugs called the chemist. So yes. he's no one probably knows more about the goop than that guy. But I suppose on the point of Jeremiah Sands getting naked as well, I think a very important point to bring up is that originally the director, Panos Cosmatos, wanted Nicolas Cage to play Jeremiah Sands. So in another lifetime, we would have seen full Cage Hog. And I think that's very important to point
Dude,
out.
Dude, I think I would have liked seeing Nick Cage in that role instead of this role.
This happens.
That's
I think
fascinating.
This happens to Nick Cage and others where it's like, we want you to play the crazy antagonist. You're like, no. I'm the star. I will be the guy who's laying in bed talking about Galactus. If it's all the same to you, director.
Yeah, they wanted him to be the cult leader, but I think it was he met with Panos and he says, like, I just don't think I can give you this role. And then I think it was Elijah Wood who was Spectre Vision produced this, and that's Elijah Wood's company. And then Elijah Wood met with him because they'd starred in The Trust a few years before, talked to him about the role of Red. And about the themes of the movie as well, and love and loss and all that business. And Cage came round, and then we got, you know, drug-addled Goop Cage. So Elijah Wood, good job.
Great job all around.
I think Nick Cage needs a conservatorship. I just finished the Britney Spears book because he's always making the wrong choices. We need someone to take over. Perhaps Britney Spears' father can run the trust. And then we choose the vehicles for ye old Nick Cage.
I mean, does he still owe taxes? Is that still kind of defying?
I assume so.
Well, I think it was whatever paycheck he got for The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. Certainly by that point, he has, as of this recording, he's up to date in his taxes. He's paid them off. He's living free again.
All right. So these are just choices.
He's not bound by the IRS anymore.
Well, I always assume it's drugs, alcohol, gambling debts, or taxes owed to the IRS for a lot of actors' choices.
Well, I think he was very clear about that's why he was doing when he was in Bangkok Dangerous or whatever. That was my wife took me to see Bangkok Dangerous for my birthday when it was first out, and I didn't know anything about it. I'm just like, Nick Cage, count me in. And then, you know, it affected our relationship negatively when that was the movie she chose. We had to have a serious conversation. What? So
I don't know who you are.
How could you?
The 2010s were certainly a decade for Cage. Believe me, I've been through all of it. I think many, though, considered, you know, Mandy to be something of a comeback movie for Cage.
Absolutely.
So, and he had Into the Spider-Verse in 2018 mm-hmm. as well. He voiced Superman in the Teen Titans Go to the Movies film.
Yep.
So he was playing superheroes. He was playing drug-addled goop hero. 2018, in many ways, a very important Cage year. 2019, not so much. But don't worry about that. Don't worry about 2019.
Well, Cage is interesting because you would see him do these crazy movies that you'd never heard of, but he was also in mainstream Hollywood productions as well. It was kind of it's not like John Travolta, right? John Travolta was like in Hollywood, straight to video kind of thing. Like there was never any crossover back for poor John Travolta, but Nick was always dancing in both ponds. That doesn't make any sense.
Clearly, people like Nick Cage.
Absolutely.
That's why he can, and I don't mean fans, I mean Hollywood. The people who he actually has to work with obviously enjoy him. That's why they keep bringing him back and forth.
Absolutely. No question.
Yeah. Keep giving us Cage. You know, he's been making movies consistently for 40 years now, as we recall this at the end of 2023. So four decades of Cage, you know, ups, there've been downs, but you think you'd find any actor would beg for the good films that he's had and the body of work that he's had as well, which, you know, can't be ruled out. Has he had some stinkers? Again, yes, I've seen all of them, but has he had the highest of highs as well? You better goddamn believe.
Absolutely. Leaving Las Vegas. We know he can do it.
No question. Let me ask you this. This is off topic a little bit. Did you enjoy Renfield?
I did, actually. Yeah. 2023, probably the busiest year Cage has had since 2018, speaking of. I enjoyed Renfield. I thought it needed more Nick Cage Dracula, though, is what I'll say. You know,
less Awkwafina.
Listen, take or leave Awkwafina. You know, she's kind of started appearing everywhere. I'm indifferent to Awkwafina.
Yep.
I think is the nicest thing I can say. No love lost, no negative feelings. Awkwafina is there. No issue with Awkwafina. Nicholas Hoult, I think for people from the UK of a certain age, because he was in like a lot of sort of teen-related TV shows.
About a Boy he was in?
About a Boy. There was the UK TV series Skins, very influential for a lot of millennials of my age. So a lot of us, myself included, we've grown up with Holt. We like to see him do well. God bless Nicholas Holt. But the only Nicholas I'm concerned about is Cage. again, with all due respect to Nicholas Holt. But yeah, I liked Renfield. I know it didn't catch on with a lot of people, which was, I thought it was a shame, but needed more Cage Dracula. He was very cheeky.
I find I like Nick more when he's not trying to be cagey. You know what I'm saying? Where he's just like, I'm delivering my best performance. Then you get all sorts of interesting things coming out of that. You know what I mean? When he's trying to be wacky, I'm going to give the public what they want. I'm wacky Nick. Then I find I don't enjoy it quite as much. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah.
It's natural crazy versus a put on crazy.
Right.
You know what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Like Wicker Man, Nicolas Cage is what I want. You know what I'm saying? And if you haven't seen Wicker Man lately, it's like 45 minutes plus of pretty even keel Nicolas Cage. And then the switch gets thrown. Pow! And now suddenly crazy Nick appears on the scene. So you get the best of both worlds is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I've said it all the time in my podcast. It's like, I think Nick Cage almost kind of excels when you have these movies that kind of aren't necessarily grounded in realism, like Raising Arizona being a perfect example.
Love
and the whole world is kind of heightened as well.
Absolutely. On the
Wild at Heart, I'd sort of add to that. I think as well, in the same breath, it helps when you have a director who knows how to use Cage.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't have that and you don't have someone who knows how to sort of rein Cage in or sort of temper the performance or build something around what Cage can do, because he can be a scene grabber, he can be a bit of a scene stealer. And
I bet.
A lot of times with other actors, they aren't ready for what Nicolas Cage is throwing their way, all right? And I say this as a man who genuinely thinks he's the greatest actor of all time.
Absolutely.
You sort of need to know where you stand on a Cage performance. And even with Mandy, with, you know, I think in isolation, some of these scenes, and if you see them out of context, especially the bathroom scene, if you see that out of context, it's very easy to sort of roll your eyes and be like, oh, he's at it again. He's caging again. But
I think, he was caging again, but that's for damn sure.
I think, you know, with a lot of the Cage screams out of context, it's very easy to be like, yeah, this is the Cage that people have told me that he is. But when you see all the films,
right,
it's very, very, very rare, like Bigfoot rare, Loch Ness Monster rare, to actually get a performance where a scream is unwarranted. But oftentimes they're very, very earned. And I suppose if I had been attacked by a sadomasochistic, leather-clad, spiky biker called Fuck Pig, and then watch my other half get burnt to death in a sleeping bag, I'd probably be screaming in my underwear in a bathroom as well, and then sort of passing out watching Cheddar Goblin commercials. So I was like, yeah, I guess that reaction kind of makes sense. I would go to a Forge Master's pit and create a weapon called the Beast. I don't know how. It's never explained that Nicolas Cage's character knows how to do that.
Right.
Doesn't matter. He can use a crossbow called the Reaper. He can forge a sick heavy metal axe. I think I'd suddenly become badass as well. I'd cram some goop for the road. You know what happens when you see your other half get burnt alive? You chug some goop.
No question. Right. And I have to say, speaking of that bathroom tidy-whitey scene, I didn't think it was crazy. I didn't think. I mean, maybe I'm talking crazy. Maybe I'm hitting the goop. It seemed like a reasonable reaction for somebody to have in that moment.
Do you think it's reasonable that that's where you keep your vodka, in a lower cabinet in your bathroom?
Well, because he was clear that they were like, he was like a recovering alcoholic. I think there was somebody offers him a beer.
I missed that part.
You got to be paying attention.
Because when you're in recovery, then you store your liquor next to the toilet.
Where else? Right? Next to the goop. Somebody offers him a beer at the very beginning when he just finished chopping down a tree. And he kind of goes, no. No, I'm not having a beer right now. So that was kind of
storytelling, people.
Subtle. Absolutely. No question. No question. So that I didn't, even at his cagiest in this movie, it wasn't kind of, in my opinion, it wasn't like crazy bonkers. It seemed like it kind of worked in the world that they were creating, in my mind.
No, his acting was not outside of what was going on.
Yes, that's what I mean.
The fact that he is like a ninja and has psychic powers and go north and I'm driving. Basically, they were homeless cult members, but now somewhere in the north, they have this like magical buildings and such.
Well, I did want a moment. When he goes to the trailer to meet Bill Duke, to get the Reaper, I want him to be like, throwing just a line like, hey, you know, I know you gave up, you know, the assassination game when you quit the special forces. Throw me something, you know, like Steven Seagal, he's a cook, but you know what? He's actually a Green Beret. You know, he just...
Because the special forces use crossbows?
Well, why not? Who's to say?
Why not? Why not?
Why not?
I'm not in special forces. Who am I to judge who does and doesn't use a crossbow?
I'm not a Navy SEAL. I don't know how they do.
Yes,
I
mean, the Navy SEALs, because they like to strap the crossbow on their back as they're swimming through the water.
That's pretty standard.
Who are we to judge Bill Duke just living in a trailer by himself, waiting for Nicolas Cage to turn up? I think they have one of my favorite exchanges, though. He gets the crossbow and Red's like, no, but Carruthers is like, well, what are you hunting? And he says, Jesus freaks, to which Carruthers replies, didn't know they were in season, which implies that they've been hunted before.
Uh-huh.
They have. You know, license, which, though.
That's usually something that happens in the fall.
It's Christian season in the fall. And then there's a little exchange that they have when he's giving them the backstory of the bike. He's like, yeah, they had some bad goop. They just went all f-ing weird. And he says, if you go after them, your chances of survival are really slim. And Red's just like, don't be negative.
I did notice that. Yes.
Yeah, that's great. I'll have more of that, please. So it gets like the special crossbow bolts, the heavy duty Jesus freak, crazy evil hunting ones.
Yes.
And then he takes them down like one by one. He kills them then. One he takes down in the road, and then one he knocks into a pit, and then comes back and he like Bruce Lee hits him.
Yes!
Because Cage is a huge Bruce Lee fan, so you know that was probably his own input there. Slits pig's throat, gets blood gushed all over him whilst there's like a porno in the background.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very 70s looking porno with... they're just having a fight in like a bed of cocaine whilst there's just like a lady being railed on the TV. I was like, yeah, that seems like the aesthetic that I imagine Fuck Pig would live in.
It's very artistic.
Yeah, and then he kills the last one. And he does like the most badass thing. He picks up like an unlit cigarette and lights it on the burning decapitated head.
As soon as he picked that up, I'm like, he's going to light that fucking cigarette off the burning head.
I was like, yeah, this is tremendous.
Entire movie, but now it's like.
It was tremendous. He found them pretty goddamn easily.
He found them freaking easy, except for the last dude. Why is he immortal? He literally got an arrow sunk into his chest, and he just like pulls it out, blood spraying out.
Yes.
But he can still fight for 20 minutes.
Well, when you've completed the 10-stage goop program, you too can take an arrow to the throat and keep on fighting.
I think I saw that infomercial.
we jumped over the Cheddar Goblin.
Exactly. We jumped over the part where Nicolas Cage was kind of chained up, his hand was nailed to the floor, and the female Cenobite comes and kind of slashes his shirt for no reason. He's like, hey, that was my favorite shirt. And then, you ripped my shirt!
There was another great line where he is incapacitated and they're like, do you have a death wish? She's like, I don't want to talk about that. I was like, what?
Well, like right after he slits Pig's throat and he's like bathed in all that throat blood, just before he starts shouting, you ripped my shirt, he action rolls into that couch and goes, whoa! It makes a little cage noise, like, you read my shirt, you read my shirt. Bruce Lee strikes, takes them down.
He did. This he broke the dude's neck. Just, bam.
Pure, unadulterated cinema. Yes, right. Please. I'll have more of that. Waiter, I'll take the bottle, if you don't mind.
Exactly. Well, when he's chained up, you think he's like in some darkened like boiler room. And then they turn the corner. It's just some shitty apartment. It was like, what the?
Yeah, where's this whole Crystal Lake area? Like part of my, because it's obviously a Friday the 13th homage to say Crystal Lake. You can't just that and not invoke that. I have to imagine like, because it was the 80s as well, that Jason Voorhees is in those woods thinking like, this is too much even for me. I'm out.
I'm out.
I don't need this.
This is too much.
Cage, you stay on your side of Crystal Lake. I'll stay on mine with all like, you know, the teenage campers. You do you, buddy. If our paths cross, I'll give you a polite nod. Right. Like, hold up my machete. How are you doing? We'll go our separate ways.
And never the twain shall meet.
Never the Shania twain shall meet.
Now, I need to bring up something.
Please.
It seems to me there's one too many time where Nick Cage kills someone, and as the blood spurts out, you see their faces. It looks like way too many bloodgasms. Did anyone else catch that?
I'm not sure I'm familiar with that term, but now that you mention it.
Now it's a thing. Bloodgasms. Phrase. Totally. One of them is like standing above Nick Cage, and Nick Cage kills him, and it's the whole... I was like, ah!
Aaron, if you're going to be a dead person in a movie, you got to work on your dead face. You can't immediately start laughing. Work on your blood gas.
That's why I can't ever be on Law & Order. That's why they never reached out to me.
Yeah, this is my takeaway. I need to go and work on my blood gasm now. Like, if I'm getting covered in blood, like...
Exactly. That's exactly what you were doing.
They were. No question.
Oh. I've never acted a day in my life. You know, I'm just born for this.
Shocking.
Natural.
I know. I hate to brag. I'm actually very, very humble. But I'm actually humble as f***.
I'm the most humble in all the world.
Yeah, you won't see anyone more. You know, I'm almost going a bit Trump there. There's no one more humble than me. I had the best blood gasmer. That was blood gasm.
People are saying.
I don't know who these people are, but they're saying, they're talking. Big, great guy. Wonderful man. Misunderstood. Love to fuck.
A perfect genius. Yes, absolutely. So how does he find his way to the chemist? Just by dipping in the jar of goop that suddenly he had a flash of inspiration as to where the chemist was?
Followed the scent of the tiger. I don't know. Mike Tyson's tiger.
Yeah, basically.
It's all wizardry and witchcraft.
Okay. Yeah,
basically, it's follow the yellow brick goop. And It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. I think this is one of those movies, like, the plot is there, you know, don't get me wrong. Like,
right.
It's a lovely story, don't get me wrong. But this one is that so sort of stylish and sort of fantastical. It's kind of like, yeah, it's fine. Yeah, why wouldn't you just find a guy in another quarry or something who's working out of some container and has a tiger in there? Sure. Why not? I'm an hour and a half into this movie. Like, I have no more questions to ask.
All right.
They're literally sitting, writing the story. And then when he goes to the chemist, it's really important that there's a tiger in the cage.
And he releases the tiger.
And the tiger just pieces out. It's just like, okay, later.
Exactly.
On my way to Camp Crystal Lake, later.
Now, the chemist doesn't get killed, does he?
No.
Right? Because he's very sympathetic. He's like, oh, someone hurt you. It was like one of those signs on the side of a bus where it's like the attorney, who hurt you? Yeah.
Is he like the oracle? Is this like the hero's journey?
It was the hero's journey. No question. Absolutely. Did it seem like Nicolas Cage stopped speaking after he said, you ripped my shirt? Like, he does not have another line for the rest of the movie.
It's not necessary. He's not here for discussions.
There's no one left to hear him, like, drop some sweet badass lines anyway. You've got to save him. And he's, you know, he's saving the best for last.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
He's saving the best.
He went and saved the best for last. Any other scenes you guys want to talk about?
Well, luckily, when he rolls up, the Oracle tells him to go north, so he drives directly to the front door of the freak house. And luckily, our cult leader, our fake Charles Manson, is in fact wearing underwear at this point.
Thank Jesus. Tidy whities, or underwear, as we call it.
Thank Jeremiah.
Jeremiah offers various services in between threatening him.
Well, the dude was very, very punchable in a way in his performance, where you're just like, this guy is the cult leader who's murdered my wife.
Right.
This guy. Okay. I'm going to have to kick your ass now, at the very least.
Yeah, I think surrounded by sycophants and idiots and then people who will put a gun to their head and just Russian roulette themselves in the act of love, but... Jeremy, he has that pep talk with himself in the mirror, and he's like, don't ever let them doubt you. Don't ever doubt yourself again. Don't ever doubt yourself again. And he just comes out, and he just like, oh, swan gun, stab that guy. The nerve to call Nicolas Cage a piece of human excrement as well.
That was uncalled for.
Yeah, very uncalled for. Like, and I saw this on like IMDb, which I thought was probably, it could be true, it might just be made up, but I thought it was an interesting insight into probably how gullible the cult is. That blade that Brother Swan Pierce is in with, he says it's the tainted blade of the Pale Knight straight from the Abyssal Lair, which is apparently a reference to Dungeons and Dragons. The Pale Knight is the mother of demons and an Abyssal Lord. So I like this idea. This is like purely headcanon for me, but I like this idea that Jeremiah Sands has just taken inspiration from Dungeons and Dragons and used that to coerce these really gullible people. They're just following a dungeon master.
I can relate. I get that.
Well, and yeah. Nick Cage and his wife are all into that shit too.
Very, very likely. She's,
no, because she's reading
fantasy.
All the sci-fi books and
fantasy or whatever it is.
Yeah,
so I think maybe this movie just makes complete sense when you realize it's just in the imagination of like a table of people playing Dungeons and Dragons.
Absolutely.
That's how this movie makes sense. Then you're like, oh yeah, probably. This explains everything, actually.
So the alternate ending is then you just see a bunch of people getting up from the table and getting some Fritos and a liter of soda.
Correct.
Yeah, just like six cups of like Mountain Dew. That's a little bit flat. One guy in like a purple like wizard's hat and a cape in front of like a screen. Everyone's rolling dice.
Look, I play Dungeons and Dragons.
Uh-huh. I still do.
I do as well. My sister-in-law, when I told her we're playing Dungeons and Dragons, she thought we wore like robes and shit. Like we were a cult.
You don't? You mean you don't?
We wear a wizard's hat and the whole deal. Absolutely.
Rookies.
No question. Rookies. And there's a lot of Fritos. No question. The Mountain Dew.
As there should be. You need to bring into your games more chainsaw fights. I think more films in general need chainsaw fights.
I agree. Any film.
We haven't even talked about half this movie drifts into like the old heavy metal animation movie.
Yes.
It's like his wife is a cartoon naked lady with her sunken out eyes. It's
just
all a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's half it's animated right at the start. Is that quote that's like, is it, when I die, bury me deep, lay some speakers at my feet, wrap some headphones around my head and rock and roll me when I'm dead. Which was apparently the last words of a convicted kidnapper, robber and murderer, Douglas Roberts, who was executed in Texas, April 2005.
What
is happening? Nick, come on, bro. What's convicted murderer kidnapper? Let's quote him. Notice it was uncredited. It wasn't like
He didn't need to know where it came from. All right. But sometimes murderer is their last words, kind of like bad dude. Pretty yep. badass way to go out. I'll give you that much. Then he just like flicked up the devil horns. He's like, and got electrocuted, I guess.
I have to talk about the scene where Nicolas Cage has invaded the inner sanctum towards the end of the movie, and he meets the older lady who proceeds to tell him that she's a very sensual lover. And because she has empathy and offers her services, she must have said sensual four times. I'm very sensual. So it was like a Tinder profile or something.
I'm very empathetic. I what did she say? I anticipate my lover's moves. It's like riding the waves.
Yeah. It didn't work though.
Didn't work out. Yeah. No, he looked crazy as f*** when he rolled in with that crazy, her chopped off head.
Yep.
Well, speaking of Dungeons & Dragons, she did not roll high on persuasion.
She did not.
She got a head cut off for her her attempts, her noble attempts. But, you know, you don't just come on to the man whose partner you just murdered in front of him. Big, big play. That's what happens. And then you just have a tiny
guy. No one to hold him and no one to fold him.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Any last thoughts?
Well, I think in the words of, Red Miller, as he crushes Jeremiah's head with his bare hands, and in a way that I've always viewed Nicolas Cage, when he says, I'm your God now. Yes, you are. And you always, always have been. That never changed. I do not believe you to be an unholy abomination, but I think, just like the very last shot of the movie where he's driving away from the inner sanctum church place and he just looks at the camera, it's all red, his face is covered in blood and he's just like grimacing like a maniac. Let me tell you, when that's the final shot of a movie to bring it back after a Nicolas Cage marathon at 9 a.m, I felt that like I was I'd gone insane.
Yes.
And sometimes I have to question my own reality. Am I still in that theater right now? Am I hopped up on goop? Am I in some kind of like cage matrix? That's I don't know.
Is this the dream right now? Wake up. Wake up, Daryl.
I'm bloodgasming again. I'm goopgasming. So the question of our reality is, are we ever truly off the goop? That's what I want to know when I look around and gesture to everything. Mm-hmm. But in short, perfect film, no notes, 5 out of 5. I have a goop addiction. My relationship is in shambles because of the goop.
Addiction.
That's hilarious.
I have addiction to goop and Cage, and I will not apologize to anyone.
Nor should you. Let's go behind the scenes, shall we?
Sure, we shall.
Let's see. In a 2018 UK Guardian interview, Nicolas Cage described his performance inspiration. Only just before shooting started, his 14-year marriage to Alice Kim Cage came to a sudden end and was a shocker for me. Didn't see it coming. And those feelings had to go somewhere, so they went into my performance. Boom.
Grief. Mourning.
How many times has he been married?
I think he's on marriage 5 now.
Well, who was he married to? He was married to Patricia Arquette.
Yeah.
He was married to Lisa Marie Presley, Alice Kim Cage.
Only 3?
There might be a couple others that we don't know about.
That's the ones whose name must not be spoken.
Yeah. He's now married to Rico Shibata, and they have a daughter, August Francesca Cage, born September 7, 2022. Okay. Erica, I'm probably pronouncing this incorrectly, Erica Koike, K-O-I-K-E. They married in 2019 and filed for annulment 4 days later.
Oh, Nick, sweet Jesus. Anyway, that makes sense. Let's see. Actor Richard Brake, who played the chemist, revealed on Twitter in December 2018 that in an early draft, the script of the caged Bengal tiger Lizzie was a lizard, and he arrived on set and the director said, oh, by the way, Lizzie's a tiger now.
Yeah, That checks out. That tracks.
They just called Mike Tyson. Threw it in there.
Absolutely.
That tracks.
Let's see. The director, Panos Cosmatos, I'm going to mess up his name, Cosmatos, described it as a film about the death of his parents. And I don't even want to know what happened to his parents right now. Good Lord. What does that even mean?
Goop is a heck of a drug.
Let's see. We talked about how there are several similarities between Jeremiah Sand and the real-life cult leader Charles Manson. Like Sand, Manson was a failed musician who reportedly took it very personally when his musicianship was insulted. Sand referred to his victims as pigs, as did Manson and his followers. And psychedelic drugs were also used before acts of violence.
Yeah.
So there you go. Let's see. Red says his favorite planet is Saturn. Nicolas Cage's production company is called Saturn Films. He then jokes that his favorite planet is actually Galactus, the villainous planet eater from Marvel Comics. And we know Nicolas Cage is a comics fan because his real name is not Nicolas Cage. It is Nicolas Coppola. He took the name Cage from the comic book character Luke Cage, Hero for Hire.
I thought it was Johnny Cage from Mortal Kombat. Wasn't that it?
That was not it. That was not it.
I think part Luke Cage and part the conductor John Cage, I think, as well. So he's getting his Cage inspirations from everywhere. Why not Johnny Cage? Throw that in there as well. Why not?
Why not? You see Cheddar Goblin macaroni boxes in Carruthers' trailer when Red goes to get his crossbow.
Good stuff available everywhere, in woodlands everywhere.
And Nicolas Cage had an uncredited screaming coach named David Sellers.
A screaming coach! Uncredited. I love it.
Gotta give him credit. Let's talk about the cast and crew, shall we? Let's see. Panos Cosmatos was the director, the writer. You know him from such things as Mandy, Beyond the Black Rainbow, Tombstone. He was the camera and electrical department. I think his father was the director, allegedly, of Tombstone.
I was like, he directed Tombstone?
No. He worked in the camera and electrical department. And he did one episode as a writer of Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities. Mm. So there you
okay.
go.
So not so much. Not too much.
A few things. Let's see. Nicolas Cage played Red Miller. You know him, obviously, from every fine film the world has ever known, including Face Off, Leaving Las Vegas, The Rock, and Next, ironically. can I tell you, I saw Drive Angry, and it is dynamite. It is so much fun.
I like Drive Angry. I think it's very underrated.
I agree. Your marathon was like four really fun films and then Mandy to knock you on your ass, basically, like Goop.
Yeah. Yeah, got a bad batch of Goop that night.
You absolutely did. Andrea Riseborough played Mandy Bloom. You know her from Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. She was in Oblivion, Aaron. She was in some.
Of course she was.
Well, she played the other lady in Oblivion with Tom Cruise. Remember the one up in the satellite with him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And she was in something called The Possessor in 2020. And in 2011, she was in WE playing Wallace Simpson. So she's been in some stuff. She doesn't normally have a crazy scar on her face, as far as we know.
And a cataract eye, not normally?
Not typically.
Because I don't remember Wallace Simpson having a dead eye down her face. But, you know.
Go back and take another look. You may be surprised.
She had like a pirate eye patch.
Maybe she did. Linus Roach played Jeremiah Sand, the cult leader. You know him from Mandy.
What a terrible name. First of all, let's discuss that name. That is a terrible day.
Let's not discuss it. He was in he was in Chronicles of Riddick in 2004.
Dude, I love Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh, sweet Jesus. He was in Nonstop, the Liam Neeson film in 2014.
Unfamiliar.
And he played Thomas Wayne in Batman Begins. Look at that.
Hey, look at that.
I think I saw that.
Because I remember seeing this movie and being kind of surprised. Like, he looked kind of familiar to me, but I couldn't place him. But now that you mention it, it's like, oh yeah, he was Batman's father in Batman Begins. So he didn't have many scenes. So, okay. Let's talk about the ratings, shall we?
All right.
Mandy currently has 91% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm on the goop right now. What's happening? Cause I think I heard you say something that can't possibly be right.
Do you know what the audience gave it?
42.
67.
Well, sometimes the audience is wrong. All right. Sometimes people don't know what they want.
That is sad but true. Let's talk about.
Holy shit!
This is very popular. Let's look at the top critics, shall we? Peter Bradshaw of The Guardian. There really are some extraordinary scenes. 4 out of 5. That's not a review. What the hell is that?
That is meaningless. There are many scenes. 4 out of 5.
This is like a movie.
This is like a long episode of TV. 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5. Brian Tallarico of RogerEbert.com. There's a masterful version of this movie that runs notably shorter. But that doesn't mean there's not an unforgettable one the way it is right now, okay? 3 out of 4.
What is he saying? I don't even know what that means.
It kind of threw me for a loop there. I was like, what?
We need a web page where we just print out enigmatic reviews with just a number where it just literally means nothing.
Dennis Harvey from Variety. Anyone with a taste for Nicolas Cage in full gonzo mode should get some fun out of this fever dream progress. Okay.
Fever good dream time. Is right.
Sweet Lord.
I always have a taste for that.
It's like the goop. Once you have a little dab, then you're hooked. Aaron, what is your rating for Mandy?
I am going to give it 2.75 out of 5. Your car is just fucking leaving the road, flying off a cliff, bursting into flames because you're on the goop.
Well, he tries to run over the dude and the car gets like flipped. So what the hell was up with that guy? Is he supernatural? Could be. Could be. Daryl, what is your rating?
I think I'd have to give this, I think it's a great Nicolas Cage film. Cage has said as recently in interviews with Stephen Colbert, this is probably one of his top 5 movies. And who am I to argue with Nicolas Cage's assessment of his own work? and I have to give it like an extra point because this is to date, the only Nicolas Cage movie that has given us a Nicolas Cage Funko Pop as well. So,
you mean
grounds.
The Cheddar Goblin?
And it's also, I give this a 4.5 out of 5. I think it's great. I really, really enjoy Mandy.
So it's really up there with The Shining. Is that what you're saying?
There's nothing else like it. Like visually, it's just so impressive. And then the director just sort of disappears for like years at a time. He's working on something else. The synopsis of it sounds like he just makes the same movie over and over again, but
yep.
I'm on board. I'm here for it. I'm stocking up on my goop for when the radiation poisoning comes and the bombs start falling.
From the Humanity Bureau. Exactly. It's funny. I didn't mention this. I read somewhere that the actor who plays Jeremiah Sand, he saw the script and saw that there was full frontal and like a masturbation scene. And he went to the director and was like, I don't know if I can do this. The director's like, whatever. We can get rid of that scene. Later, the actor came back and said, I kind of want to do that scene. He's like, okay, we can do that.
Whatever.
Whatever you want to do, just pass the goop.
Can you just be naked the entire thing? How about that?
I feel naked. I feel naked. You look naked as well. I'm going to give it 3.5 out of 5. Aaron complains that all of my ratings are between 3 and 3.5. I think it's decent. I enjoyed swatches of it. It is. it's a little bit of a slow burn, in my opinion, at the beginning of the movie when you just see their peculiar relationship. I think we're supposed to think they're kind of loners and rejects who found each other against all odds. But they just seem kind of a boring life that they were leading.
Yeah, they seem sedated. They're just really just kind of zombie and through their lives. And he doesn't really wake up until after she's dead. That's
the way
thought.
It seems, right? Yeah. Now, visually, I thought it was very interesting. It kind of had that color scheme of like a color out of space where it's like, you know, weird, like a red aura that appears on the screen every now and again.
I thought it was kind of Argento. It was a lot of red and blue.
Right. Absolutely. Like you said, the the little interstitials of kind of bizarre anime that seemed to pop up of naked zombie woman floating along. And there's a goblin. She pulls like a jewel out of it. I don't. So it was Goop inspired, I think, to say the least.
Who was the goblin? And is the Goop was what she was pulling out of the dead goblin?
I think it was a reference to a passage from the book she was reading. And
well, how does he know what she was reading? So why is this his hallucination?
I don't. Is it his hallucination or is it
well,
just
she
some...
dead?
Who knows what's happening in this movie? Sweet Lord.
A shared goop hallucination.
it's 100% a shared goop hallucination.
That's right. That's how you know it's a deep love.
So I would definitely say if this is kind of your cup of tea, I mean, it is violent, but it's not like Saw or something. You know what I mean? It isn't Eli Roth Presents.
Yeah, it's not Eli Roth violent.
It's bloody. It's bloody, but there isn't like gore or viscera or anything. Although there, you do see one of the crazy bikers is wearing that outfit from Seven, where instead of he's got kind of a blade coming out of his groin area. So you have that to look forward to if you haven't seen this.
Yeah.
Sweet Lord. So I would say if this is kind of your cup of tea, I think you should check it out. If you prefer the Raising Arizona Nicolas Cage,
steer clear.
Maybe I'd steer clear. that would be my advice. So
this is not Moonstruck, Nick Cage.
This is not...
no. This is a very, very different Cage.
this is a different Cage. A Cage of another color. So thank you very much. Go to our page on Facebook. We're on X. We're on TikTok. We're on Instagram. We're on Threads. We're on YouTube. All over the place. If you want to email us, you can email us at the podcast that wouldn't die at
Gmail.
We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. So don't forget to like, share, rate, and review, won't you?
Won't you please?
Aaron, what is your social media situation?
Well, I am on Twitter and I am on Threads. I don't remember what I am, though. I'm on Instagram.
Is it the Goop?
It's the Goop. I have the Cult of Aaron. I think that's what it is on most media. I'm also on First Dibs and Artsy Aaron Doherty. It's the holiday season. Buy some shit.
Beautiful. And Daryl, what is your podcast and where can people find it?
Well, you can find me at Cage Rage, a Nicolas Cage podcast. As the title might give away, I've been covering all the movies of Nicolas Cage and all the usual places where you get your podcasts. And I am on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. If you search for Cage Rage podcast, you'll find me on there. I'm also the co-host of Getting Defoe You, a Willem Dafoe podcast, which is currently nearing the end of its second season at time of recording, where myself and fellow Cage podcaster Petros Batsilivas are covering the de highs, the de lows, and all things Willem Dafoe. And you can find us on all the socials there at DafoeUpod.
Oh my God, that's awesome! And just as an aside, my oldest son's name is William, and my mom was trying to make Willem a thing. I called him Willie, which she hated. So it was like she was trying to like, where's Willem? I'm like, that is not my son's name. That is not his name. He is not Willem Dafoe.
Oh, Dynamite. We will have all of your links in the show notes as well. So please, please, please check out that amazing goodness. No question. As you know, each week we try to include listener, viewer, mail comments. So, Aaron, what do we got?
Well, Philbert Mackinac wrote in to say, this is in regard to the film Dread. I love emo Cersei Lannister, but I kept looking for her emo twin brother. Boom.
Okay, so she felt that Dread needed a Jaime Lannister type in that. Interesting.
And why not?
And why not? Nicholas Coster-Waldau, available. So,
this guy's hair black. It's Game Dread of Thrones all over again.
Needed more of an incest angle.
Absolutely.
Yeah, why not?
Why not, is what I say. Next week, we have our friends at the Sip List podcast will be joining us to discuss the immortal classic Chopping Mall, starring starring Kelly Maroney, Barbara Crampton, Tony O'Dell, and many other interesting 80s actors. Is it from 83? It's actually 86, but who's counting, really? So you can watch that on pretty much every streaming service. It was on Redbox. It was on Plex. It was on Tubi. It was on Pluto TV. You could pretty much find it. They're giving this one away.
I can get it on UHF. I just put on the rabbit ears and it'll appear.
It will appear. No, go to the library. I'm sure you can find an old dusty copy.
Check out a VHS tape.
Please. So send in your favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions, and we may talk about it on the show. So thank you very much. Thank you very much, Daryl, for joining us.
Thank you for having me, everyone. Support Goop sellers at your local Goop stores. It's hard out there for Goop people.
Demand Gwyneth Paltrow start selling this Goop.
Absolutely. Demand fresher Goop. Settle for nothing less.
And Cheddar Goblin, if you will.
And Cheddar Goblin. Yes. We got to make that a thing.
Yes. So thank you very much and be well.